Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
Boy, howdy. Welcome back to another episode of the Group Answers Podcast Show, and we are in the thick of winter. I'm Brian Daniel, as always with Chris Surratt and Brandon Hiltebeitel. Welcome back to these dark days, and I don't mean that literally. I mean it literally.
Right.
These are the shortest days of the year, but there is hope. Word on the street is on December 21st, we started getting longer. Is that true?
You know, I noticed.
It doesn't feel like.
First
it.
Of all, let me start Can't with. Did you sure. say boy howdy at the beginning of this?
I just stopped laughing about a second ago.
I was not quite prepared for that.
I know. Well, you wanted to start it off a different way. So, I mean, let's just make that a trademark.
Let's try a different way again
Yeehaw!
Next time. That's not the way.
My voice doesn't do that.
Boy howdy.
So it's got to be like that. Boy howdy.
It's funny. I noticed yesterday that it was still light out at about 4:45, which we haven't had in a while.
Ugh.
In Nashville, Tennessee, we're at the worst place for light because we're right on the other side of the Eastern time zone, which I love being in the Central time zone because TV and all that's much, much, but it's God's time. But we're so close to the Eastern time zone that we get barely any light.
East, I meant when we drove west a few years ago, we were driving out to New Mexico for a few days in a So over Christmas, and we were driving through like around Amarillo, Michael Kelly country, and it was still daylight at like 5:45 in the thick of December.
It's crazy.
I turned to Karen. I said, "What's going on here?" And that's when it hit me. We're in the easternmost portion of the biggest time zone.
When I go see my in-laws, they live in Houston. We'll go in the summer, and in July, it'll be light till like 9 o'clock at night. 8:39 at night, which is crazy.
So all those listeners out there on that western edge of the Central time zone, we salute you.
Yes, we do.
Boy, howdy.
Brandon loves it. He loves the idiosyncrasies. That's what gets Brandon Hiltebeitel up in the morning. He just wants to see what people do.
This is some good host banter. Some good host banter.
Brandon, he looks at the clock, and he looks at his watch, and then he turns to Scarlett and says, "I wonder what they're going to do
today. What is Brian Daniel going to say to me today?"
But that's not why we called. So developing a secondary leader, Chris Surratt.
Yeah, that's the topic for today. I think this is a good time to talk about it. A lot of people have started groups in January, and now we're kind of moving into the semester, and it's time to think about, with your group, who is going to be your secondary leader. Sometimes we call these apprentices, so if you're used to that language, but looking for somebody in your group who might be able to step up and take a big portion of the group responsibilities and hopefully at some point, maybe in the fall, maybe a year from now, either start their own group or take over your group and you start another group, which is a scary proposition for a lot of leaders. But it's important.
I was with Robbie Gowdy. It seems like we mentioned Robbie a lot on the show.
And you were dropping names.
I was up there with him yesterday, and we were talking about developing D groups out of your small group. That was one of the questions that he answered for this Facebook Live thing that we were doing.
That you asked.
And yes, you were listening.
I was.
And that's right. And Robbie said, "Look, I get it. No one in your group is looking at you raising their hand saying, hey, I want to start a new group." And I just kind of laughed to myself because he's right. You know, when we're talking about this topic and secondary leaders, I would hazard to say, well, first off, I would say I'm terrible at this. But I would hazard to say, Chris and Brandon, you guys that are kind of also involved in group ministry leadership at your churches, that it's a rare thing if for someone to volunteer for this.
It's very rare.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've talked to churches that preach apprenticeship and, you know, have really good systems for it. And they'll get about 10% to 15% of their groups who actually do this. But the fact that they're able to get that many groups to develop leaders within the group is a great thing. because most of the time it's a cattle call from the stage or we put it in the bulletin. We need more leaders. We need leaders. We need leaders. Well, people don't normally want to respond to need. They want to respond to vision. They
right.
want to respond to somebody believing in them. And so that's why this is the best way to develop new leaders, even though it's hard to do. I want to ask you, Brandon, because you have a lot of thoughts on this. When you're looking at your group, what are you looking for? Who are you looking for? What are the qualities? What stands out to you and says this could be the next leader?
Because of what we just mentioned, that it's not necessarily an automatic step for a lot of people. It's not something that they see themselves really wanting. I would say first, don't overthink it. You don't rule out a bunch of people who may be good candidates because you're looking for some perfect vision of what a future small group leader is going to look like. Maybe try to remember what you were like when you first started apprenticing or leading a small group and all the struggles that you probably had and were in store for. So I would say willingness. Willingness is, even if they're not volunteering, willingness to respond to your invitation is huge. Mm. But then specifically, and both in the church world, at work, I believe deeply in leadership development. And so you're looking for somebody who is willing to be developed, who's got I don't know if you want to call it hungriness, if you want to call it passion, but somebody who's got some drive to make an impact on the kingdom. Chris, like what you just said, that people are responding to vision. So I think you're painting a picture of disciples that make disciples, and you're literally, it's so compelling that we are carrying on the mission that Jesus had and then carrying on the mission that Peter had. And there's this lineage of disciple makers that runs all the way back to the cross, and inviting somebody to step into that family tree of disciple makers is really cool. It's really beautiful. So willingness, a drive, an understanding that what they're doing matters forever. And then obviously I'd say this may go without saying, but you're looking for somebody who has, to the degree that you can see it, some leadership capacity. You might find somebody that's willing. You might find somebody that's hungry. You might find somebody that really loves the Lord, who is just going to make a mess of things if you give them some influence. So
that's
those
good.
Are some thoughts there.
Something you said was important too. I think a lot of times we separate leadership development from discipleship, that's a different thing, or that's a different process, which, you know, sometimes it can be, I guess, but especially when we're talking about a secondary leader, a small group, you are developing a disciple by developing another leader.
Yeah.
I mean, you are discipling somebody by pouring into them and, you know, creating a disciple who's going to create disciples. So I think that is a key point. You can't separate, in this circumstance, leadership development from discipleship.
For sure. And if that's something that you buy into philosophically, which it is definitely for me, I look back at my 25-year-old self, and I could even go back before that. I may have said this in this podcast before, but I can't really remember a time since I was 19 where I've not had someone actively and intentionally discipling me, or they might have called it leadership development. I've been unbelievably blessed in that regard. Just an unbroken string of people investing in me. Like specifically, I'm saying, you're my guy, Brandon, and I'm going to help you pursue growth as a leader. I'm going to help you pursue growth in the kingdom as a disciple. And so being able to call people into that is super exciting, but once you've experienced it, you're going to want to pursue that regardless of what you title it, even regardless of what context that you're in. I mean, I say the people that I lead at work and to the people that I lead at church, I want you to be better off. So I would say to somebody as a potential candidate for a secondary leader in a group, I want you to be better off as a leader, better off as a follower of Christ, regardless of whether you ever actually lead a group, regardless of whether you multiply in this context or not. Because I think when you make that promise to people, it makes it really easier for them to step into whatever rhythms you're going to invite them into, mm-hmm. because you're saying, man, I'm about helping you. And I can say that with integrity to people, because so many people have said that to me, and I've seen the power in it.
Yeah.
How much of this paradigm, guys, is not necessarily like the intention of the secondary leader, but just a mentorship or disciple-making a disciple-making kind of opportunity?
I think it's a big part of it, and I would say, like what you were saying, Brandon, you're leading with that. So I wouldn't lead with, hey, I'm going to develop you because I want you to launch another group.
Right.
Because that's going to scare off a lot of people. And you might get into it, and they're not the right person to right. lead another group. They may be the right person to take responsibility in your current yeah. group or something like that. But
they're right for something.
They're right for something. Everyone's right for something. So I wouldn't lead with, hey, I'm going to, you know, spend some time with you, ask you to take some responsibility because I think you're going to launch the next group. That's going to scare off a lot of people. So I think what we're talking about now isn't necessarily just for multiplication, although it's great when it happens. But it's very rare, actually. You know, so you're going to probably go through several people before you get to somebody who you say, you know what, you're going to be the next leader. You're going to start another group.
Would you say that that's a good approach for this? Like, just call it intentional disciple making, and then there's the potential that the secondary leader will come out of it because we need to be making disciples. And as the group leader, whoever that person is, you're uniquely positioned in that way for making disciples.
Yeah, absolutely. But I do think there are some that you're going to recognize from the start. Hey, that's a potential leader.
For sure. Yeah.
You know, that's somebody. I mean, every group that I've had, there's somebody in my group that I've gone, they've got it. They've got it. Now, it may take some time to kind of figure who that is, but you listen for those kind of signals, you know, just the way they answer the questions, the way they talk to other people. Yeah. You see them before the group, people gather around them, you know, just some things like that that look like they're going to be the leader. So there's those that you want to pour into that might not necessarily be leaders, but you're probably going to see somebody that could be the one.
Brandon, your group, it seems like I remember you've got a relatively big group. That doesn't mean that everybody comes all the time, but in terms of just the members of the group, it's a bigger number,
right?
Like, was it 18 or 20?
20 plus.
Would you still have like one person out of that group, regardless of the number, you think, guys? I mean, like, Brandon's group is a little bigger than, or maybe it's not, but it seems a little bigger than a normal group. Would you have a couple of people that you were looking at?
So I like to think of just about anybody as a potential future group leader.
Fair enough.
And what's cool about the way ours is structured, and this we stumbled into by accident, but a friend of mine and I years ago decided we were going to lead a group together. And so we essentially co-lead the group, which means we've got, and we talk about it all the time, every new semester we ask the question, is it time for one of us to go start another? Because we've got multiplication built in. We already know we have an automatic sort of secondary leader, which means we're able to keep our eyes out for anybody to be an option. And we had that 2 semesters ago. We had a guy who did volunteer to go, he'd been our group for maybe a year and a half, and he did volunteer to go start a group. So 5 people from our group went and started a group in a different part of town with them. It was that was the easiest group launch I've ever seen. But it makes it easier. It made it easier for us to be flexible. And so essentially anybody that I see that I think has capacity for leadership of any kind in the kingdom or really anywhere, because again, this is something that's super important to me. It's probably the value that trumps all other values for me is development. I try to get more one-on-one time with them, whatever that might look like, mm-hmm. if I feel like they got potential. So,
all right. So with all of that settled, so let's, you know, regardless of whether it's like developing a secondary group leader or more purely disciple making, what about steps and process? Have either of you determined like what a step-by-step process may look like from beginning? So you talked about identifying the person. So now what?
Yeah, I've got 5 steps that I typically lean on when I'm developing a secondary leader. These don't always go in this order or as clean as this, but I think it's good to have some type of a process that you're kind of walking through with somebody. And so I'll give you those a little bit and kind of what those look like. The first step, and you may have heard this before, it's kind of a basic way to mentor somebody. But step 1 is I do, you watch, we talk. And so you've kind of tapped somebody on the shoulder, said, hey, I see some potential in you. I'd love for you to take up some more responsibility in the group. You know, I see a leadership potential, because they're not going to see that in themselves most of the time, but you've called that out in them. And so you say, hey, at the next group meeting, why don't you just watch what I do? Watch how I kind of facilitate the questions, how I do the prayer time, you know, how I kind of handle the group. Just watch, and then let's talk afterward and see what you think. So that's really the first step, is just identifying somebody, saying, you know, I'm going to do this. I do this every week, but I really want you to pay attention this week to how I do it. You're not looking to make a copy of yourself, but obviously you have, you know, some experience. So you want them to get, you know, to see that, to see how you handle the transitions. So that's kind of step one, is I do, you watch, we talk. And then step two is normally I do, and you help, and we talk. And so you've had them kind of watch the first time. You guys have met together. And so the next time, hey, could you do part of the group meeting? So if you have a normal group meeting, you're going to have different parts of it. So you're going to have the beginning, which is kind of the icebreaker. You know, a lot of times you'll have an icebreaker question or just kind of get to know you. And then you'll move into the study portion where you have some questions, and you may have different parts of the study that you work through. You might have more of digging into the scripture, and then application section. So there's different sections. And then normally a group will move into a prayer time. So that's another section. And so there's different sections. Ask that person to help with just part of that. Maybe, this coming week, you take a couple of questions. So you take the middle questions, you handle that. I'll do the rest of it. And then we'll talk afterward. When you are developing somebody, Brandon, where do you normally start? What's an easy place for them to kind of own from the beginning?
So if you're talking specifically related to the group life, I think it depends on what I see their strengths are, because I think you always want to look for early wins. So it could be something as simple as you're going to send out the email to, if you're giving away influence and you're trying to set somebody up for leadership success, it's you're going to handle the communication this week.
That's good.
If you think of group life in multiple categories, hosting, communicating, leading the discussion, doing the care throughout the week, somebody may have a more natural bent to a certain, everybody's going to have a more natural bent to a certain piece of that. So it may be that the thing they're going to struggle with the most is actually leading a discussion around the Bible. So that may be what you want to involve them in last.
Yeah, that's good.
And so it could
I love
be,
the communication, because yeah. You're putting them in front of the group.
Yeah.
As this is somebody to talk to.
And it could be something like, so in another phase of group life, it could be, hey, why don't you reach out to so-and-so for lunch this week? Ask them about, you know, what something that they mentioned in the prayer time, and see if you can love on them in that regard and catch me up on how that went. So that
becomes a candidate for multiplication at that point.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That was what I was going to ask Chris, and in terms of just the natural transition here, if the secondary leader is going to start asking questions and taking over aspects of the group time, how do you prepare the larger group for that transition? Because that could be possibly disorienting or a little confusing.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know that you have to announce it. Hey, Brian is now going to be, you know, asking some questions. Probably your group will have sensed that there's somebody in the group that is going to take more responsibility. Maybe they seem to be a little bit more on it when it comes to some of the questions, you know, more biblical knowledge. So they'll probably understand. But yeah, that would be a little jarring to say, hey, Bob's going to do the discussion part tonight. But, you know, giving them one question, that's probably not going to upset the apple cart when it comes to the group dynamics too much, but that's good. So you do that. So you give them a portion of it. And then step three is you do, I help, and we talk. So at this point, they've taken a portion of it, maybe a small, they've done the communication, or they've done a question during the discussion, or they've handled the prayer time. At this point, now it's going to switch roles. So you're going to take the majority of it, and I'm going to help you out. So I'll take the prayer time, because I think the prayer time a lot of times is the hardest portion of a group night, especially if you have to navigate, you know, long prayer requests or something like that. So, well, hey, why don't you handle the discussion? I'll do the prayer time, and then we'll talk afterwards and see how you felt about that. So it's just kind of switching those roles. And then step four is you do, I watch, and then we talk. So now we've pretty much handed this off. So we've spent, and this is not a 5-week process. This is probably a 3-month process. Right. So, you know, we've had a couple of weeks of them helping. We've had a couple of weeks of me helping. And this point now I'm kind of handing it off to the apprentice or the secondary leader and saying, you do it and I'm going to be there. I'm going to support you, but you've got this. You've proven yourself. And so why don't you take it and then we'll talk afterward. Which honestly, and I haven't done this too many times to the finish. This is the most painful part of the process for me.
Yeah.
What about you guys?
It's painful for us, but it's the most formative, I think, for the person that's being discipled or the person that's being developed. I can think back to when I was 19, when I was 25, when I was 28, when I was 30, whatever, to specific tangible moments where I was in a new season or being asked to lead in a new way, and I had somebody doing essentially this with me, whether you use this language or not, and you're able to lead or perform, quote unquote, or do whatever it is that you're asked to do with such more confidence because you don't feel alone. I remember the first time I preached, it was literally this, okay, Brandon, you're going to do, and I'm going to watch. So he had helped me work on the outline. I knew that he was sitting there. He was going to help me fix whatever I broke for that 30 minutes. I knew he was going to help me get better. And so you just don't feel like you're on an island. You know you've got somebody loving you and trying to help you get better. So whereas it can be for sure tough for us, I mean, now I live probably or definitely more on the other side, the okay, now I'm going to be the support for you while you're trying to grow. And, you know, I'll hand off something to somebody that I lead at work or watch them do a presentation or whatever, and you got your fingers crossed and like, oh, Lord, please let this go well. But on their side, they're standing up there, a microphone in their face or whatever, leading a meeting, and they know that they've got the support of someone who's going to help them process and get better. So it's certainly worth the discomfort on our side for the growth that happens on their side.
Oh, I'm sure that I'm not alone in the fact that, you know, a big part of leadership is getting stuff done. That's how you got there. So
yeah,
giving that up and stepping back is definitely has been for me very difficult. I've described myself in other contexts as a work hoarder. Because delegation is just naturally hard, and so you just have to make yourself do it. And because it is what I've realized late, not as quickly as I would have liked, where you guys are, is that you're doing people a disservice by not stepping back and letting them grow and move into different areas of leadership. But yeah, for me, Chris, that's been the hardest part of all of, you know, this is a larger context here of multiplication and growing and developing leaders. That's the hardest part for me and probably a blind spot, to be honest.
It's tough sitting there thinking, I wouldn't have said that. I wouldn't have transitioned it that way.
Yeah.
You know, you always think that you can do it better. And so it's hard to do that. It's easier for me to say, hey, why don't you lead this week? I'm going to be out of town, and then we'll talk afterward.
Yeah.
But like you said, Brandon, that's a disservice to the person doing it because you're there to support them.
That's not being judgmental. You know, you're not sitting back and being judgmental about what someone's doing. It's, oh man, I wish I could help them right here. Get out of, you know, navigate
and
this.
And then you can after the fact.
Yeah, you can after afterwards, but in the moment, it's
gotta
like,
got to let it go because that's the only way you learn.
Yeah.
That's the only way you
learn.
But
it's also a way.
We live to tell about it.
Here's what's cool is it's also a way for us to learn because it forces
do things differently.
It forces you to say why I would do this different.
Yep.
And sometimes you find out you're wrong.
Yep.
So great. Now I'm better.
That's good.
So.
And then step five, this is the last step, is you do, someone else watches. So now we've handed over the group, or they've started a new group, and they're going to start the process over. And so it's building in that idea of multiplication, of raising up a secondary leader. So when they start their new group, or you start your new group, you're going to start it all over. So that's the five steps, is I do, you watch, we talk. We'll put these in the show notes as well. I do, you help, we talk. You do, I help, we talk. You do, I watch, we talk. And then step five is you do and someone else watches. And then I've got real quick just questions as you meet. So you're going to meet after each time. That's important. A lot of times we skip that, but that's where you're really discipling somebody and helping them become a better leader. So these are the five that I tend to use. Is number one, what did you observe? What did you see, you know, especially the first time when they just watched me do it? What did you see? You know, did you see me transition certain questions? What did you see? Number two is, how did this step make you feel? So did you feel strong, confident? Were you worried? Did that question throw you off? Number three is, what could be done better or differently next time? So outside eyes, always good. What can we do better? What can we do different? Number four is, what can I do to help you successfully lead through the next step? So you're explaining, yeah, this next one, I'm going to give you this portion, or you're going to take the whole thing. How can I best support you or help prepare you? Then number five is always important. How can I pray for you? How can I pray for you? So that's just a way, you know, you don't have to follow that. And honestly, when I'm raising up a secondary leader, we may not hit all of these, but it's good to take them through a process. So you're discipling them and they're going somewhere on purpose.
I know we're pushed for time at this point, but I would be interested to hear, like, do you have any practical, like, stories from your time here? Like, how does that gone? Do you have any memories that would be helpful to share?
Yeah, I've got one. I listed it in my book, Small Groups for the Rest of Us, plug. But
available now in Lifeway Christian stores.
Yeah. This is my favorite, and this is an example of somebody that didn't see leadership in themselves, but I saw it. But we had a couple in our small group, and I saw potential in him. They were a great couple, had a lot of biblical knowledge, and so I tapped him on the shoulder, and I said, hey, I'd love for you to kind of take some more responsibility, maybe lead some of the discussion. And he said, you know, let's talk before I do that. What, you know, can we meet? And I said, okay. So he came over, he and his wife, we sat down at the dinner table, and he said, you know, I really appreciate you seeing this in me, but I got to let you know something. I was in prison several years ago as a young man. I spent several years in prison. In fact, I have a prison ministry now. You know, he said, where I go and I minister to inmates, but I feel like that may disqualify me from doing this. And I said, man, you're in a perfect place. You are the right guy at the right time, and God has done something miraculous in your life, and you need to share that, and you need to do it. And so he ended up kind of walking through this process with me. They ended up starting their own group, and eventually I was a campus pastor at a church at that time. He took over the entire small group ministry for us. So he ran all of the small groups. So he went from saying, you know what, I'm disqualified because I was in prison, to stepping up and running all the small groups. So it can work. It can happen.
Nice.
All right. So we need to close it down. Before we do, we need to recognize one of the other podcasts on our network. We are a part of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. And so we want to highlight Ask Me Anything, which is co-hosted by J.D. Greer and Todd Unzucker. They're part of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network family, and they recently talked about how to handle politics, whether or not to attend a homosexual wedding, and ways to distinguish God's calling on your life. Just look up Ask Me Anything on your favorite podcasting app and subscribe today.
I realize that the show close falls to me, but after getting kind of made fun of for that opening, I'm a little rattled. I've got to tell you, usually we just flow right into this, Chris, but
no,
my
you
boy
just,
howdy.
You got to bookend it with a boy howdy.
Yeah, we got to end where we started.
But now it'll be kind of like script. It won't be so, you know, improvisational.
Well, how about this? We would love for you to go subscribe on iTunes and leave us a rating. We are looking for 50 people that have rated. The 50th one's going to get a special prize. We'll talk about that. But it'll be even more special if you mention boy howdy.
Hashtag.
In your rating.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Group Answers Podcast Show. I'm Brian Daniel for Chris Surratt and Brandon Hiltebeitel. We look forward to being with you next time.